Turundusraadio .
Dear listeners and welcome to our marketing radio talk show number 102. My name is Anu Malnarits. I'm going to be your host today. I'm from Marketing Institute in Estonia. And my guest via Skype today is the first person from Latvia in our shows, is Peteris Zimants, who is the CEO of the Pure Chocolate Factory.
Hello.
Turunduse tulejoonel.
Today we are going to talk about export growth. To introduce the topic, I would like to say that mission, vision and big goals are extremely important to get the company growing. You, as head of Pure Chocolate Factory in Latvia, you have a mission to become the fastest growing company in the confectionery category. And the first question is that what do you do in order to make your export sales team to believe in the mission?
We are trying to introduce our product worldwide, and that's what we are saying. If each person from the world would try pure chocolate, that our mission would be completed, because we are giving them to try, and then they can decide to buy or not. And the believeness of the export team is the same, because they want to introduce. And with this word introducing, is not only not selling, but introducing. And it sounds easy. And with this, we can take our expert team as introducers of the novelty of the pure chocolate special product. And it sounds easy. So that's why I think also they believe that it's quite easy. Okay, afterwards comes sales. But with this mission introduction with the chocolate truffle, it works.
Very interesting. What are the other key things that that support your mission?
We are very active. We are very active in the export markets, and they're starting all the instruments what we are using. It's exhibitions. It's travel. A lot of travels. Visit the customer. Make a market research ourselves, not asking to some market research company to visit the shops, to visit our market where we want to enter. And this is very big complex of the things what we should do to acquire the market and to make this introduction, and afterwards also the sales of these ones. And this is what we as the owners of the company are supporting our export team. To have these instruments with whom to work, with a great product, great marketing materials, financing the export activities, travelings, exhibitions, inviting customers to Pure to see your factory. So this is all what we are supporting with this mission, and to give this passion about chocolate, about the sweet business, actually it's a sweet business, to that they also are feeling the same as a because this is a family-owned company, that they feel very comfortable in our family and to want to complete this mission.
You have 25 different countries you are currently selling, or where you have introduced your product so well that people are buying it, rephrase it. But how do the target markets or how do the countries differ? Do people have different taste, or do they have almost the similar in that type of niche category where you are working?
Someone could say that we are not focusing, but our focus is that we have a niche market, and it's a specialty store market, supermarkets and specialty stores. So that's why the globe is so big. And here we are, we can supply worldwide our product, because it's a 1 year shelf life. It's logistics approved, because in the refrigerated containers we can ship, and we are shipping to Australia, we are shipping to United States, even Saudi Arabia. So we see, we started from the local part, Baltic states. Of course, we have a big neighbors, Russia. And then we see further where the people can afford our product. That's why we decide that we have we can work also more globally. One is Gulf food region, that's mean Middle East and GCC countries. Otherwise is North America, United States and Canada, and third part is Asia, Japan and Korea. There is very, and also Hong Kong, there is very good traditions to consuming very high quality truffles and the chocolates. And of course, it costs a lot, this investment, but without that, we can't, let's say, specialize on one market because it's too short market. That was our targeting. And here by the sales managers, if we speak with the sales managers, we are dealing about their good knowledge about each market. One is language, one is cultural things, one is habit to travel. One can travel long-haul flights every second week. For other is a headache and he wants to travel by car somewhere nearby Latvia. So this is also one part how we are differentiating salespeople and also targeting the markets.
Can you say that people have different tastes for chocolate in different regions? You mentioned here, let's say, Arabic countries or Asia or states, or is the taste almost the same?
No, all tastes are not the same, and it's a quite subjective factor. And what is happening in the chocolate market right away, it's hard to understand because chocolate prices are increasing. There's a lot of substitutes what has been used into chocolate to get it cheaper, and it's hard to understand. And we have studied, one of the benchmark is Lindor truffles. They have different taste in Italy, they have different taste in Germany, they have different taste in United States and also other countries. So they have already reached the level that they produce for each market different tastes. What we are doing, we have our assortment, we are flexible to produce new tastes. For example, for Danish market, we produce truffle with licorice filling, what is not sellable in Latvia. But with our assortment, we are more working on possibilities of packaging, to study the packaging, how they like the packaging, how they like what sizes, what colors. And we are on this level that we have our unique truffles with natural fillings, natural decorations, and we are putting in a different kind of packaging, these ones adjusted with the market, what the market needs. But with the tastes, we want to surprise with our unique tastes. This is our story.
Okay, so you don't even intend to be different in different markets?
Yes. We are ready to be different with the packaging.
But not with the taste?
Not with the taste, because we want to introduce our truffles with decorations, our taste, and to have it and to offer it our taste. And this is, let's say, one part of the mission. Of course, when customer needs some special things, we are producers, we have our R&D department, we can develop. But the main idea is to introduce with our tastes.
So how do they usually react to your offering? For the first time, when they taste?
They are surprised. They are surprised that the products are not so sweet.
That's true.
They feel that the product is natural because there are some crunchy decorations, and they are even surprised that these are natural because they are asking, what is this red color? And they can't believe that it's real raspberries. What is this yellow color? And they can't believe it's real mango. And we are telling that, yes, actually, yes, I can feel that. So this is the surprise feeling, and how we are saying three tastes in one truffle, decoration, chocolate and filling. And filling is also, we are masters in the fillings and we can prepare a different kind of fillings. So for example, raspberry mascarpone truffle, what does it mean? Raspberry outside, real milk chocolate in the middle, and in the middle, not around, and in the middle is mascarpone filling. And this combination of the tastes, we can say three in one, or three different tastes, or one special mascarpone raspberry truffle taste. This is our story.
How much you are influenced by different traditions in chocolate consumption? Different holidays. We just had Easter here in Estonia. Easter is not a very big holiday. I don't know how about Latvia, but in other countries the variations of holidays are different. Do they influence the sales?
A lot. For example, Christmas. That means we are increasing our sales 10 times. Because even already in the in February, further countries are signing contracts and having already decided what Christmas products they will launch and what they will buy from us. So this is very important. Second thing is Valentine's Day in Eastern Europe, also 8th of March. Then comes Easter's. In Middle East is Ramadan, a very important celebration. In United States, Thanksgiving Day and Halloween. Actually, we are not working on these two because we can't understand what we can offer there. But Christmas, New Year is this main. Celebrations. One more important thing, in Eastern countries like Azerbaijan and also China, in summertime is very very popular to get married, and they have a lot of chocolates on their table.
So you have had chance to learn all the different countries and the ways how people use chocolate. How do you work with the packages for the occasions? Do you have different packages, for instance, for Chinese wedding parties? Or do the packages look the same like here in Latvia and Estonia?
No, it's different. It's different, and we are adjusting and we are flexible in that. And we understood it 2 years ago, that we need to be flexible. Maybe we are not working on each taste flavors because taste flavors are different. How I said, it's very subjective. But the eyes and the tradition, what they want to serve on the table and what they are seeing, this is very important. And that's why we are working on these packagings. What sizes, what grams it should be inside, how or its products in bulk, what they are serving by one, and etc. So, and you can't read about that. You need to visit. You need to check the market in this season, buy these products, make a photos, study them, and then you are ready to prepare. Because it's hard to influence Chinese people what they need to do in their traditions in wedding time. Better is to adjust your product to this time.
Absolutely. Who is designing your packages? How do you know, or who is giving you the know-how what to use in Chinese market, for instance?
Local partner. He's saying, but we have our own good designers. We have our own designer in our company, and we have contracts with two Latvian designer companies who are making a lot of exports. Let's say they are doing good designs for different countries. So they are doing that. It's quite expensive, but of course, if you are getting a lot of orders, then it comes back.
Is it easy to teach a Latvian designer Chinese or Arabic customs?
It's not easy, and we need to really listen what this local is saying, confirm with them, then change again, confirm with them to change again. But that's a long process, and we are studying that. I think we will never end it, because anyway, some traditions or habits are changing, and we need to follow these things. And for 25 countries, it's quite hard.
You don't mean you have different packages for all of the 25 countries?
No,
there
no.
are some clusters or groups of the country still.
Groups, of course, groups, and by celebrations, some special products. No. We have a regular line what we are trying to sell, because then it would be a headache for our purchaser, and also big stocks with the packaging and not effective production.
How often do you change the packages? Is it once per year?
Seasonal, we do 2 years in a row. One type, we just add something because we didn't. For one example is we didn't sold to any to all export countries the same. For example, now in Baltic states, Eastern Europe, we will launch new designs. Some part we are introducing also further countries, and some further countries we are selling old Christmas because they haven't seen what is our old Christmas. We sold only in Latvia, and this is how we are playing, because it's also hard to be in time when each customer is deciding each thing. For example, one big retail chain in the United States, they say the deadline is 15th of February, but we have only products of 1st of March, so we need to offer old one, what is also not bad, and they haven't seen that. Therefore, for them, it's something new.
So you can somehow recycle the design.
Yeah, of course. And again, it's in accountancy, it also pays off how fast you paid this of this design, because you have paid to somebody to design that.
Absolutely. How is it different with getting clients in the different countries? Do the change you are targeting work in the similar ways all over the world, the purchasing managers, or do you see big differences in different regions and countries?
I don't see big differences because we are working in a retail, that's for one. For the shops, that means we need to go direct to the retailers or to go to find a distributor who have a connection with the retailers. So main thing is exhibitions. We are participating in a lot of exhibitions starting from the United States till China. But then starts different approach. And that's what you can study only when you are in the market. And what is your, let's say, customer or agent who can help you? For example, in United States, 2 years ago, I had a complete different idea how we will enter in the United States. Now it's a completely different, and it was good thing that we met our master broker, old guy with a lot of experience. He said, Petris, if you want to enter in America in a specialty store market, you should do like that. And now I see after 2 years that he was right, and we followed his rules. We invested money in his activities, and now it's a payback time. But we had a second idea what to do. Do like other Latvians or companies, and I never said that they are wrong, but I see that here with my result will be perfect result. So maybe I was 2 years ago made a better decision than others. But what this I can tell after 1.5-2 years when I will have a return of investment and see whole calculation where I am in the market.
Okay, so what was your initial idea and how does it work now?
Initial idea, one client in the United States takes the whole distribution and basta, but it's never happened. So many states, so many retail chains, so many decision makers. By each state in one retail chain, you can find decision makers. You can't get to these because it's a broker system in the United States. Everybody has their own job. So it's a master broker, then comes brokers, then comes distributors, then comes retailers. And you need to work with all of them, not with the one customer. Yeah. So this is the thing what was completely different about United States, what I expected. For example, in Japan, I have one distributor who is buying, who is selling, who is developing the market together with us, and we are satisfied. United States, completely different stories. And one other example, in United States, nobody is offering products than asking for discounts. It's take it or leave it business. Again, one more. I think we are writing a sentence about United States. What is the rules in United States? And this is interesting. Maybe someone has a different experience, maybe more successful, but this is our experience in the United States.
How much is it different to keep the clients loyal in different countries? Is this the same as well, that you work with the retail and they behave in the same way, or are there differences?
As I'm coming from the B2B business, where is more relationships, more business to business, because we develop the products for some other producers, and here is really relationship thing. In the retailers, there's a thing that there's a rotation principle. They are rotating every half a year. It depends on each. So you can't build actually good relationships, and that's in a their retailers are doing in the purpose. So not to follow, let's say, not to make a possibility to build these relationships. But you can build the relationship with the owner of some distributor or the managing person of the distributor who is not rotating. So here you can build some relationships and keep customer loyal. But in retail business, you need to let earn to them, be active with them, and then they will be satisfied. And the result shows the satisfaction level. And if the results are good, so both sides are satisfied and they are loyal to us. And this is very important in this retail business.
How much are you concerned about the loyalty of the end user? of the guy or the lady who comes to the store and buys the box of chocolate?
It's hard to enter the retail store for me in Latvia because I'm always looking in the on the products, and sometimes I'm staying in the chocolate shelf and then looking at the people, how they are deciding what to take, and sometimes I am going even an offering.
Why didn't welcome to the club. I feel the same.
Yeah, why didn't you took a pure chocolate? He said, I don't like pure chocolate. I said, why you don't like pure chocolate? Because of that and that. I said, okay, it's a good point. I'm coming from pure chocolate, though, and that they are shy about that, what they said. I said, no, everything is okay. You said your own thoughts about that. That's not the problem. And then I hear feeling happy that someone is buying that. And then in Latvia, it's coming more and more. So our market share is increasing and results are good. But now we are feeling that there is some loyalty in Estonia market about our products. And we are satisfied with that because we already are fifth year in the market. We are some of the people are not knowing us. But already we feel that the sales are increasing, and that's mean Estonians know our product, they are buying our product, that's mean they are staying loyal and increasing this loyalty, and that's what I feel great about that. About United States, I can't say that someone is loyal because this is a huge market, our market share is nothing, and we are just selling something, so we can speak maybe about 4 or 5 years, and that would be great if we could speak about this topic. Yeah, in Japan, okay, we sold for Christmas a lot, and we are keeping this doing, but we are speaking about loyalty maybe after some years. Yeah.
How do you invest in marketing towards end consumer in these big markets like United States? Or is it kind of worth of investment? Or is it just better that you leave your products on the store shelf, people find the packaging attractive, they taste, they like, they buy again, and you don't invest anything into brand building?
It's very hard for us as a small company for Latvia to invest in this kind of business, this kind of marketing, because it costs a hell of a lot of money. And there's a big brands like Lindt, Cadbury, Hershey's who are pressing with a huge TV advertisement. So we are choosing the second way, what you said. We are going to the specialty store market. We are distributors helping us to enter. People are checking the product, seeing something new, and if they like it, they make the second purchase. And this is our story, where how we are doing. We even in Latvia don't advertise in TV. Maybe next month there will be first TV advertisement in whole our company's history. So this is the story, that we are not the mass market where we can afford also big investment that also gives a huge tonnage of products.
But that's a good idea to invest into this target group who is really chocolate gourmands. On the other side, these people tend not to be very loyal, as they like to taste new things, they like to consider new things. So it's even more challenging to keep them loyal, isn't it?
I understand that, but we see also Estonian case that we are more and more distributed. That's mean also the people are buying more and more that. So here depends a lot of things from distribution. And if we speak about, for example, United Kingdom, yeah, we signed an agreement with a distributor who serves 2,500 specialty stores. Yeah, in Latvia we have 3 specialty stores.
Yeah, in Estonia probably also 3 or 5.
That's right. So and that people are buying, and if we are getting some shelf space there, we would be very satisfied if we would have a 10 € sale per each store in our 2,500 stores, maybe even per month. Yeah. So it's okay, 25,000 per month. In each of these 25 countries, you're multiplying, you're getting great result with the target group, what we want to achieve, yeah? And then people are, and then we need to work with designs, with the tastings, with these things. In tastings, we are investing in an additional gifting and these things, so people feel attracted, they bought pure chocolate, okay, it's something interesting, I will try this thing again. So we are speaking about huge market, they're outside from Baltics, and that's why is our export target so important, and there's a huge volumes outside. I'm saying that always. Outside from Latvia, there's a huge volume.
Absolutely. But is it worth of keeping a store if it sells only one box of chocolate during a month? Wouldn't the kind of delivery and administration cost be much more than you can earn from the box of chocolate?
No, I think you didn't understand me right. I'm speaking about I'm supplying to the distributor who's distributing to these 2,500 stores. And if we are there in these 2,500 stores, and if there is one purchase of pure chocolate, let's say 10 euros per month, yeah, the total is 25,000 euros. Yeah, that means we are supplying to the distributor, he is staying there. But that means not only pure chocolate has been bought in the shop, let's say shop picks in some London part of the London, yeah, where people are making huge turnover, yeah, and I'm happy that they bought a box for 10 euros per week or per month, yeah, but they're buying also other products. So this is what I'm talking about, that we have good distribution in the right niche, and this is the most important thing for us.
And of course, these 2,500 stores give you a great visibility. If there is at least one big box in every shelf, so people will really, really notice it.
Of course.
What are, in general, the best ways to communicate with international customers?
To visit them, face-to-face.
Absolutely.
Face-to-face. So that's why we are participating in many exhibitions. We are traveling a lot around the world. But of course, like my Japanese customer said, my Belgium suppliers who are supplying 15 years never come to Japan. I said, okay, they are from Belgium, I'm from Latvia, I'm eager to sell. That's why I'm here in Kobe. So he was laughing about that, saying, okay, now I feel that you are very serious about that you want to sell. And this is the case that if we found our target client, we are working to them, developing the relationships, visiting them. Maybe he is not very satisfied that we are so active, but then they see potential that they can earn money. And this is what we're trying to tell. You can earn money on pure chocolate.
Absolutely.
This is very important for distributor.
How often do you visit your Japanese partners then? Are you there once per month or a bit more seldom?
No. I think I will visit them maybe next year because I have great connections with them via email and Skype and no need to go there. And so I build these relationships, for example, for our Hong Kong partner. So I visited 2 years in a row that he felt that we are very serious. We want to work with them. And one was introduction visit. Second was already speaking about the market entrance. So that was important. But these long haul things, yeah, still it's also expensive and it's, if you are going deeper in the market, visiting the retail chains and trying to understand, but if you are getting the level where you want to be, that it's okay to visit once per year.
Absolutely.
Or even seldom.
So the process is so that usually you have like an introductory visit, then you do some planning together, how to launch the market, and then you leave them to work on their own, and then they are just reporting the results. Or are you somehow else in the process and influencing the work?
Sample sending, specifications, ingredient lists, translating, translations, confirming the products on sending before the shipment, confirming a lot of small work, what maybe some people are not seeing that, but this is the export manager's life. But they want to go very, very, very deep in that. And one thing was that we were sending a lot of information to this Japanese customer, and we was laughing that they are building a factory there, because there was a technological shamus and these things, so that was funny. But yeah, they're buying, they are paying money. That's good.
But they wanted to just know how to produce your chocolate, or no, why did they need the technical specifications?
They need the technical specifications based on their import. Import legislation.
Absolutely. And then my almost final question, not the very last one, but the one before that. How do you manage your team that needs to be almost online 24/7?
They need to understand when the customers wants them, and then how I said, Japan wakes up 5 years earlier than Latvians, and Americans go sleep 5 or 7 hours afterwards. So sometimes you need to wake up earlier to have some Skype call to be there more precisely in the time. That's why we use WhatsApp. That's why we use Viber and different other applications. And that's why we can be 24/7, yeah, and we see what is their need. So here we are trying to teach them that you need to be available maybe sometimes after the working hours, but still the people who are coming to export sales, they understand that they will need a lot of traveling, so they can't finish work at 5 o'clock. Sometimes they can take a free day, because they have managed that all customers are sleeping or they're having some festival, yeah, like in China, 2 weeks nothing is happening, yeah. They have Chinese New Year, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or in Russia, 2 weeks after the New Year, nothing is happening, nobody's working. Or in Sweden, August, yeah, silent months, so don't bother them. But we are Latvians, we are Estonians, we are all the time working, so that's why we are reaching them as fast as possible. Maybe in one moment they will be behind us.
If you were the person responsible for Latvian marketing, how would they use your experience?
First of all, one brand, not several brands, what each ministry has been built up. One story what all Latvians and Latvian entrepreneurs should know for when they are waked up in the midnight of the night. Yeah, so they need to know what is the story of Latvia. If we will have this one brand, one story, then we can make also one design what we are, how we are saying and acting, and also this one. Let's say we need to speak in one language, then we will be more, the people will more recognize Latvians as a brand, because now we don't have a brand as others are having this brand. And we are speaking about Latvia, and I would say food is one of the brand. I would say Estonians has IT, and this is already brand for you, and I congratulate you for that. But food is one of the brands of Latvia, but we don't have this brand already strong enough, or we are not working as a government, the government representatives are not working on that. But I believe that very soon we will have it, because we have established one good organization that will be responsible for export, and especially in food, and not only in food. So we hope that we will have this brand and this one story. And this is the main thing, very, very important to have this one story. And then we can say, yes, we are Latvians and we have this story behind.
Thank you. I really love your answer.
Turundusuudised.
Euromonitor has, in the last research, described a new customer group that they called the technophiles, or the hyper-connected customers. And these are the ones who are early adopters of new technology. Euromonitor describes them as being heavily dependent on mobiles and more addicted to using all wearable devices. In particular, these hyper-connected customers have an evolving set of purchasing habits and preferences for interacting with social and commercial worlds around them that are directly shaped by the heavy use of technology. 94% of them research a product online before buying it. And it's called web rooming. And then they go showrooming in order to touch and feel the product. It means that they go to the store and try to feel. And then they come back to online and make the purchase because it's cheaper. So this is a new customer group described or defined. What do you think? How is this customer group influencing marketeers?
My first idea is that it works, and actually I know also some persons who is doing that, more in IT or in some electronical devices, because it's more expensive. you are reading about that, then you are going to touch it, and then you are coming back and buying. I don't see that there will be so big influence in the food business in my field. Maybe I'm wrong, but my feeling is you go to the bookstore, you touch the book, see what is inside, feel how heavy it is, or you go to touch iPhone 6 and come back and buy it in the internet. I think this is important, and many people are doing that. In a food business, I really hope that it will not happen so often, because also Pure Chocolate has not developed an online store, and we had the discussions about that, but then it's a question how we will deliver, because when it's too hot time, it will melt and there will be a problems and bad feelings about that, about touching and then buying. I also don't see that that it will influence us as a producers and sellers of that. But I believe that this thing is because you are always moving somewhere with some of your gadgets. One is mobile phone or some tablet. And this is getting crazy, actually. All the time you are reading something and you are getting nervous about that. And I also felt myself that all the time I'm checking something and I'm trying to end it. And when I'm home, I'm putting my gadgets away. But this is the thing, what I agree with that it's happening. Yeah.
Okay. For me, it was an interesting news because for several years, people already tell about the new behavior, that people check things on internet and then, or research on internet and then come to the stores and then touch and then buy on internet. But the problem was, that it was difficult to see that who are the people, because the sales trends weren't not shifting so fast. Of course, you see the online growth, but it wasn't so fast that you would say that it's majority of people behaving like that. But I think that this is a very good research when it says that there is a special group of people who are the really hyper-connected who have this type of behavior. And then I don't know how big the group of people is, but the rest, maybe, I don't know, 90% or 80% of people still behave rather normally. So for me, it was kind of a good different look at the target group, helping to understand more kind of the what is behind this type of buying behavior.
But what I see in Latvia, what is I'm very proud of the company who is doing that and who is developing, is a Stenders soap factory. And they are doing really great marketing in their packagings, in their store concepts. And I know how they are developing. And this owner, Janis Bezinč, is really passionate about that. This is how I feel about chocolate. He's feeling about soaps. Yeah. And I would say, if I need to say one candidate, not during this week, yeah, but during this year, what he did with the stores. And actually in Estonia, there's also some franchise stores. I know the franchise business is heavily hard from the controlling side. But this is the guy who is doing a great job.
Very good. By the way, they do so well that they have even not only their own franchise, but they have copycats also, as I have understood, that look and feel almost similar. But then you exit the store and look at the sign and see that it's completely different. So I've been surprised a couple of times.
And it's from one side it's bad, from other side that means it's good. That's you are so good that you have been copied.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, it shows that you have to do more to be ahead of the
cuts. That's right. Yeah.
My candidate for this week would be probably not even. I've noticed them during some weeks already. It's I didn't even realize at the beginning what it was, but I felt that somehow people started in Estonia to talk more about stress and burnout and all these syndromes. And there is a test for stress, so you can understand what is your level, stress level, and also how to fight it. And when I started to research the background, because I think it's a kind of an interesting way of bringing up some kind of topic, and then I tried to understand what is behind or who is behind. And to my biggest surprise, there is a medicine or a drugs called Magne B6 that tells that you need to take it when you are stressed or when you are frustrated. But I think that in general, the campaign itself, not telling about the medicine or the brand, but telling about the problem and telling about how huge the problem is in Estonia, is a rather good way of marketing a product also. So we have two candidates now. Yeah. Whom would you think would get the award?
I was for Standard Soaps.
Okay. I would agree. I think they are doing great. I would love to see them more in Estonia, but I think that in general the idea and what they do is really exceptional, and if they are so good that people really are copying them, then everyone is welcome to learn from the case and also to get new ideas for different fields as well.
Turundusdoktor aitab.
This week's case study sounds like that. Hi, I am going to graduate to practical psychology school this spring and plan to open my own company providing different therapies. I plan to apply for entrepreneurship support, so I will have some money to launch the business. I plan to do both individual therapies and group therapies. How should I communicate in order to get the first client? What do you think?
Psychology, yeah. That's very far, far away from my business.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think they should start with individual therapies, because in a group it's more harder, because this is what I can say, but maybe it's not. But the communication, I think, is you need to find the field or the field where you will specialize, because psychologist, I think, is quite open or quite big thing. And what clients you want to approach, and what is the problems for these clients, and then to find the right model, because it's quite discreet thing. Because if you want to approach to psychologist, that means you are already saying that you have some own problem, but I don't think that you will say it loudly, and you don't want to hear it in a TV show, and that's mean. You need to find the place where people with some problems who would like to approach for this psychologist would go there, or in some portals or with something, or even make completely different, start to advertise how good is psychologist, and to try to open a market for new clients who didn't have thought about that maybe psychologist will help you. So find some unique selling points, what you can give for example, for interpreters or for busy men or for some women who have been all the time with the baby. So spend 1 hour per week with me. Speak about things or make some meditation or something like that. So find a new product group for the people with whom you can help. So this could be even better than to find I think this is better.
Absolutely. I do agree that it's of course, it's a tendency when you start a business, you always think about what services should I offer. Yeah. But the starting point should be who could be the customers and what needs do they have. You already mentioned a lot of different target groups that could be targeted. I would just like to add, maybe there is possibility to think also about business-to-business customers. Because let's say that work-related stress and all these type of topics are really overwhelming, and maybe if a company would be client and maybe not just we don't talk about the therapy, but just the first level trainings about how to manage your stress level or how to manage your energy levels. Maybe this could be the entrance point to get reintroduced to people. And then those who have more severe problems, who want to talk more or go deeper, can continue. But those who don't want to get the basic know-how anyway. And on the other side, it will give also a lot of visibility, that people see you, they notice you, and it's a good start to build a personal brand, would I say, that in my mind in this field is very important.
I agree with that, yeah, but you need to sell this service, and that means someone is agreeing that in your company there's some problems, because then or in other case you need to call it trainings and actually there's many companies who are giving these trainings, and still if it's a learning, still it's a good psychological thing. When we are also making these team buildings together, and here we as our owners are looking and the people attitude, how they are reacting in different cases, and this is also a bit psychological therapy for them and for us together as a team. So it's I agree with you, but then you also need to compete with a lot of training companies who are offering trainings.
And then it's a different market, of course.
That is a different market. So you go more deeper in this psychological school, the benefits, what you get from this psychological school. So to find the right target group, the triad, to offer different services, and then you see which goes and which not.
Yeah, absolutely. And probably there is also wise to think about where all the psychologists have the practices. Maybe there is some hubs where the people gather and people look for solutions. They tend to go, and maybe there are also some kind of well-known brands already. Maybe there are psychologists who have a lot of work, and maybe there are some type of customers they want to share with the newcomers or different people. So some kind of cooperation would be also maybe wise to think about at the very beginning already.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Not trying to compete with everyone, but trying to find coalitions, how to improve or develop further. Dear listeners, please listen us in a week's time again, and meanwhile please send us different cases. You know that we really love to solve them.
Sulle meeldis Turundusraadio? Telli endale meeldetuletus järgmiste saadete kohta Marketingi Instituudi kodulehelt.